Embrace the Word for Friday, May 8, 2026. Embracing Psalm 60. Psalm 60 expresses the cries of a near defeat on the battlefield. The superscription provides some historical context. To the choirmaster, according to Shushinan Edith, a mitkum of David for instruction, when he strove with Aram Naharim and with Aram Zorbah, and when Joab on his return struck down 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Still within the sub-collection consisting of Psalms 56 to 60, Psalm 60 shares several common elements with this collection, but also provides unique information. The historical details are extensive. This is the longest superscription in the Psalter. What this superscription references is probably events narrated in 2 Samuel 8 through 10, as well as 1 Chronicles 18 through 19. While the difficulties and distresses expressed in Psalm 60 are not directly related to Saul, David and his commanders are still battling against fierce forces from territories around Israel that seek to harm David. And while the superscription indicates the victories recorded in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, the context of the psalm itself gives something of a behind-the-scene look when it appears as though victory would not occur. Psalm 60 focuses on the crisis of near defeat that drove David to cry out to the Lord amid the battle. Psalm 60 begins with expressions of distress by the Lord, 60:1 through 4, then an appeal to the Lord, 60:5 through 8, before concluding with confidence in the Lord, 60:9 through 12. Psalm 60 opens with the distresses that reflect a precarious battlefield situation. O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have become angry. Oh, restore us. 60:1. David is embattled and near defeat. David realizes that his forces can only be defeated since God is angry with them and therefore chastening them. No enemy can defeat Israel. Israel can only defeat themselves through their unfaithfulness to the Lord. David does not charge God with unfaithfulness, but essentially appeals to the faithfulness of the Lord to restore us. David understands that victory comes only when the Lord restores his mercy toward his people and thereby restores the fortunes of his people. David uses a series of pictures to describe the devastating defeats that Israel had been experiencing in battle. You have made the land to quake. You have torn it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people see hard things. You have given us wine to drink that made us stagger. 60:2-3. It was as though Israel's forces had faced an earthquake, and as a result, their defenses were broken down and collapsed. It was as if they had been leveled by an earthquake. They were reeling like a drunken man weaving his way down the sidewalk. Those in battle could hardly stay on their feet. What is most important to see is that the word "you" is repeated 8 times in the first 4 verses. David is acknowledging that their weakened battle status was God's doing. Both victory and defeat are in the hands of the Lord. That realization drives David to the Lord. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. Selah. 60:4. It seems that David is reminiscing back to the time of Moses when he declared that the Lord is his banner in the aftermath of their victory. See Exodus 17:14-16. David appeals to the Lord to be the victory banner of his people once again. David continues his appeal to the Lord with a plea for deliverance. That your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer us. 65. Rooted in the steadfast love that the Lord has for his people, coupled with the strength that the Lord possesses, David looks to the Lord for his help. When defeat seems near, it is common to doubt the love of God, but David actually appeals to the love of God. And David shows his understanding that as the Lord still loves them, then all of his promises for his people are still intact. Thus, David remembers the assurance from the Lord to give his people their land. God has spoken in his holiness, "With exultation I will divide up Shechem and the portion of the vale of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter." 60:6-7. The Lord is announcing his authority over the lands east and west, north and south, surrounding Israel. The emphasis is mine. The Lord will do with them as he pleases and dispose of them as he wills. And what the Lord has for them coalesces around his royal tribe of Judah, who will rule over them. David finishes with a few more locations. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. 68. His victory over these territories is certain, and that spells great confidence for David, the current placeholder of the scepter of Judah. In light of David recalling God's promises, he is moved to rhetorically inquire, "Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom?" 69. Remember that the superscription notes that the occasion of this psalm was when Joab, upon his return, struck down 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Joab and his forces were credited with 12,000 deaths. Actually, based on the account from the book of Samuel, all of David's forces combined killed 18,000 Edomites. See 2 Samuel 8:13-14. So, the victory did come, and we know the ultimate answer to David's inquiry. The Lord has brought about this victory for David. David revisits the crisis that opened this psalm. "Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go forth, O God, with our armies." 60:10. But this memory is absorbed by David's plea. "O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man." 60:11. David is confessing that his troops cannot win without the Lord. There will be no victory without the Lord. But David also confesses that with the Lord his army will fight to victory. "With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes." 60:12. Perhaps David is reflecting the promises prophesied through Balaam hundreds of years before. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab, and break down all the sons of Shif. Edom shall be dispossessed, Seir also, his enemies shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly." See Numbers 24:17-18. Victory belongs to the Lord, and such victory comes through those whom the Lord strengthens for battle. As we reflect on Psalm 60, we can consider the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ promises to his people. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See 1 Corinthians 15:57. We who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ never work for victory, as much as we work from victory. Christ has secured his people's victory. Everything we need for victory in this life is what we already have. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, which, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. See 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Our sufficiency to be victorious is rooted and grounded in Christ. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See Philippians 4, 13. Without Christ, we cannot talk of victory. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See John 15, 5. And out of such supply, we can be valiant. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. See 1 Corinthians 15, 58. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, May 8, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, May 11, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 61.